Amen. That was really a blessing this morning. Mr. Lane, I looked for the opportunities I could stand on the furniture. You got that opportunity, mister. Praise the Lord. Okay. And nobody can say a word. This morning, if you haven't been able to tell, the music, the theme, everything that has been done this morning has to do with bringing people to Jesus, about following through and being all that God desires us to be. Shouldn't that be our desire as God's people, to be all that He wants us to be? Not all that we think we should be, but what He desires for us to be. I had, up until last night, was going to preach the very message on this passage that Brother Bob read this morning. God changed that from that. So maybe that was the reason why. I don't know. But what I want to talk about, what I want to share with you this morning out of God's Word, is to understand that we are never alone. We're never alone. We always, as God's people, have the Holy Spirit with us. As Jesus was preparing to prepare His disciples, because He was getting ready to go to the cross. And there is no other gospel in the four gospels that tell us more of who Jesus is than the Gospel of John. Man, you cannot misunderstand who Jesus is if you read that gospel. In fact, that is the gospel I encourage all new Christians and new believers to read first, because it just sets in concrete the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Because it is all about what He has done that we can sit here today and that we can witness the baptism of these five young people that have made decisions for Jesus Christ. And how awesome is that? We truly have a reason to celebrate today. We really do. And that's what I want us to do, is celebrate today. You know, living in Jesus is a reason to celebrate, period. No matter what's going on around us, because guess what? It's not going to get better. And that's all okay, because that's in God's hands, just like we are. And so, you know, let's take our eyes and our focus off of the world and put our eyes and our focus on the man, the God-man. His name is Jesus Christ. That He was preparing. Jesus was preparing His disciples for what was to come. And He says, I couldn't tell you these things earlier. And I often ask myself, why couldn't He tell them earlier in His ministry? Probably because they would have ran. They had no clue really what was coming. And Jesus wanted to take every one of those 3 years to build their life around the truth of who He is. I don't want to say was, because He still is. And as the Son of God, He is mediating for you and I right now at the right hand of the Father. Amen. So He still is all that He said He is. And we can celebrate that this morning. I want to look in John. John chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 16. Because in this passage that I want to read in verses 1 through 15, there's four things that He teaches us concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that which was given to all of the church on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Comforter, the one who is going to be able to deliver through our lives all that God has desired for us to be delivered to. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit. So the four things that I want us to look at is, first of all, He begins by saying, look, there are perilous times for you ahead. Number one, says, so don't be duped. Don't put on these rose-colored glasses that just because you become a Christian, everything is going to be just the way you want it to be. Because guess what? It don't work that way. And anybody that's had any life experience knows that to be true. But that doesn't make us losers. That still makes us victorious. Amen. Victorious. So we're going to look at what he says about perilous times. He also talks about a very precious gift. A precious gift that is exclusive. And I say exclusive because only believers can have this gift. The third thing that he says is that through this one comes a powerful conviction. Amen. You know, when you sin, I sin, we all sin. You know that which comes over you and say, you know what? You just failed. You just sinned. But understand, there is forgiveness for your sin if you turn to him who is the forgiver. Amen. I am not perfect, never have been, never will be. Not until I draw my last breath when I can shed this thing called a body. Because it is the flesh that keeps me from serving my God the way that I want to. So we have through the Holy Spirit a powerful conviction. The fourth thing is we can see that there is a practical help. A practical help. Not the pie in the sky, by and by kind of help. Something which is usable. Something that is practical. I always like to encourage Christians as well to read John on who Jesus is and then James on the practical application of the faith that we just learned about in John through Jesus Christ. Because that is a book of practicality. In other words, put your faith to your feet. It's easy to just talk. Christianity is not just talk. It's about doing. So I want to look at this. And as this is a message for all of us, this is really a message for those five young people that are getting baptized this morning. Because it's going to get harder for them than it is for us as adults right now. I can assure them of that. But there's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be fearful. Because you have that which Jesus promised that would get us through every moment of every trial of every day in any situation. And I believe that with all my heart. So in John chapter 16, would you please stand with me in honor of God's word as I read and remain standing for prayer? We're going to look at verses 1 through 15. And the Word of God says, I'm going to start back on the last of chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let us pray. My Father and my God, I truly thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for each and every soul that is in this congregation this morning. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that our hearts and our ears and our minds are open to the Spirit this morning, as the Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, that we may hear the words of the Spirit, that we may desire them in our lives, Lord God, because it is by the Spirit that we know you. It is by the Spirit who has called us to you. It is by the Spirit in which we are sealed unto that day of redemption to you. And nothing can take us away from you. Oh, my Lord and my God, I praise you and thank you. And it is in your precious holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we can see in this passage, that the first thing that Jesus addresses prior to the perilous times is the fact that he must go away. He must go away in order that the Helper, who is identified in Scripture time and time again as the Holy Spirit, depending on what version, the Holy Ghost, it is the third part of the Trinity of God. They are all one. Okay, and I'm not going to get into that debate because I don't debate when it comes to the Word of God. It is what it is, and that's all that it is, and it's no more. So I'm not going to debate whether the Trinity is or not, because in my heart and in my life, it is a truth, it is a fact, it is a reality, because the Bible teaches it from time and time again. Amen. And so the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in order to come, he must leave. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring a testimony to the believer of Jesus Christ. He is going to, by the authority of God, to bring the name of Jesus, that name, above all names, as Acts says. There is no other name in heaven whereby we may be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. These five candidates are being baptized because they invited and asked the name of Jesus Christ into their hearts, believing and knowing that only he can forgive us of sin. Only he can wipe the slate clean. Only he can forgive. Amen. That's why they're following through. Now, in that passage that Brother Bob read this morning, it said that those who believe in him and are baptized are saved. But, he said, those who do not believe are not saved. Not about baptism, okay? Baptism, according to Scripture, is the first act of obedience once we have been saved. We get saved by believing in the name of Jesus. And then our baptism is our testimony of truth. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, with that in mind, he then says this. He says, you are going to come into very perilous times. When he is gone, but the Holy Spirit is here, there are going to be those religious zealots that think they're doing the service of God by dragging Christians out of the synagogue and stoning them and doing away with them. We know of one such man, don't we? His name was Paul, formerly Saul. That was his life's work, dragging Christians out of the temple, out of the synagogues, and making sure they never stood in there again. How quickly he changed when he met the real Jesus. And you see, that's what's happened in these five little lives today. They met Jesus, and they haven't begun to see what he's all about yet. And you see, that's what we, as God's people, those who are more mature in the Lord, are to bring to the table for these young people. Amen. That's what our work is, to prepare them. As Jesus was preparing these adults, we are to prepare the children for the perilous times to come. I don't look at mainstream media anymore, but I do look at Christian website news to see what's kind of going on around the world in the area of Christianity and things like that. I found a lot, but a lot I'm not going to share because, well, it's easy to ask children to not be afraid, but when you present them with things that can scare them, it's not such a good thing. But I am going to share a few things that is happening in our world today that we need to be aware of. For one thing, a pastor took a stand in West Virginia, and some of you may have read this, that just said America, love it or leave it. Half of his congregation walked out because it was politically incorrect. Okay? UN Council, now to me, this is the pot calling the kettle black here. UN Council votes to condemn Israel for violating women's rights. Yeah, okay. A veterans ministry says YouTube blocked their ad because it included the word Christian. City officials removed the word Lord from a fallen police officer's memorial before ultimately removing the entire memorial because of the word Lord. Judge bans prayer, religious music at graduations following atheist suit. Well, since when did one person get so much power to dictate to everybody else what is right or what is wrong? Chinese schools are now urging children to betray their Christian parents. We've seen lots of movies about that, haven't we, as the end time movies come. China kicks out Korean ministry or missionaries in unprecedented numbers. China tells Christians to replace images of Jesus with communist president. Nepal criminalizes Christian conversion and evangelism. And it has hit America too. There's a couple of things in here that I could share that's going on here, but because of our younger ones, I'm not going to mention those right now. It is here. It is in America. People do not love the name of God. Some of God's own people don't really love the name of God. You know, we were reading in Sunday school class this morning about what the Bible says, how we love God. Not just saying it, but in Psalm 18:1 and 1 John 5:1-3. First of all, we're to love God. Second of all, we're to love Jesus. Third of all, we're to love believers, each other. And fourthly, if we love in that realm and in that way, we are to obey His commandments. Now, I shared Wednesday night of the new HRM movement, the Hebrew Roots movement. It is just going back to the law. It's another movement that's going back to the law, yet calling themselves Christians. That's all that it is. We just studied in Hebrews. The whole book of Hebrews is telling Hebrew Christians, don't go back to where you came from because it is a dead-end street. And I want these young people to understand that the life for them is just beginning in awesomeness. Yes, perilous times are going to come. They're going to try to teach you lies in school. They're going to tell you things that didn't happen, like 32 million Americans not believing that, or believing that the moon landing was a staged event. Boy, I must have had a pretty good TV then. That's all I can say is I watched it. They're rewriting history any way they want to. They're not going to rewrite this history because it's already been done. It is what it says it's going to be. So, you know what? They're going to drag us out of churches. They may drag us into centers. They'll convict us. They'll take us through courtrooms. They'll slander our names. But they cannot take Jesus Christ away from us. They cannot. young people, all that love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is someone here that is our helper. Don't let the times dictate to you what you're going to be and how you're going to be. Let the Holy Spirit do that. That's what He desires to do. We can endure anything through His name, and we can especially endure it if we endure it together. Amen. So let's understand that He promises persecution, trials, bad times are going to come. But He also promised in verse 7, He says that, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Why is it to their advantage? They didn't really, I'm sure, get that. The only advantage that they saw was Jesus staying there and continuing His ministry. But He said, I have to go away because in order for Him to come, I cannot be here. This is such a precious gift that we've been given. And you know what the problem with the modern day Christian today is? They have learned to shelve the Holy Spirit. You see, once you shelve the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be able to grapple and take a hold of your own life and think you're in control of it. And we wonder why things are working out or not working out the way we want them to. We belong to someone better. We belong to someone bigger. We're not our own. My Bible tells me He bought me with a price. Amen. That price was His precious blood. His blood. Nobody has ever sacrificed their blood in such a suffering manner as Jesus Christ has. Nobody. And my friend, we got to count that more than just luck. More than just, thank you, and I'm going to move on. It should be the most precious gift you and I have, because it is that gift that causes us to walk the walk. Amen. To do what we are to do in Jesus' name. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. So how do we think we can do it if we put the Holy Spirit on the back burner and put Mike Sams on the front burner? I've been there before. And I'll tell you what, no one could make a better mess of their life than I can. Nobody. Not until I was down groveling in my sin and my sweat and asking the Holy Spirit to please take control of my life. Till my life begin to change. Because God has a great plan for me. God has a great plan for you. God has a great plan for these young people that are being baptized this morning. He's got a great plan. How awesome is that plan? So we need to treat the Holy Spirit as the precious gift it really is. Thirdly, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's powerful because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. How do I know when I sin? Because the Holy Spirit lets me know right away. Oh yeah, it doesn't take days. It takes seconds before I realize that I sinned. I don't even like to use the term made a mistake or oopsed or whatever it is. When I sin, the immediate conviction of the Holy Spirit, it enters my heart, and I need to fall on my knees and say, God, forgive me. Because it's the only way I can get forgiveness, is to repent. My friend, don't think repentance is an act of pride, because it's not. It's an act of humility. You see, we only can come to Him when we humble ourselves before the cross. And we receive the truth of God's Word. That's the only way. If we're going to stand in pride, we will die in pride. And pride is the one thing God hates, because it separates us from the fact that we need Him. Amen. We think we can live a life without Him. You see, the Holy Spirit is powerful. It convicts us of sin. It convicts sinners that they're sinners. It also convicts people of righteousness. Living righteously. What is righteousness? It is not my righteousness, because Isaiah says my righteousness is filthy rags. It is the righteousness of Christ that is impugned upon me as he took my unrighteousness. He gave me his righteousness so that I may live righteously. And the Holy Spirit convicts me of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that I may live that righteousness. Are we doing that today? Is that a desire we have as Christians today? It's not about big churches and edifices and music programs that'll just dazzle the eyes and spectacular events and all that kind of stuff. That will take you straight to hell if that's what you're dependent on. We have an empty cross, right? And it's empty because Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He is now in heaven with the Father in our place. Yeah. Don't keep him, as I said last week, keep him as a baby. Some worship him as only a baby. Some worshiping only as the miracle man of Galilee. That's all that they want from Jesus. Some still wear crosses with Jesus still on the cross. I don't worship any of those. I celebrate what each and every one of those mean, but I worship the risen Savior. Amen. That's who I worship. That's who you worship as a child of God. That's who we worship. You see, there's power in that Holy Spirit because there's power in him who can give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to stand against the status quo and tell people that God loves them, that Jesus Christ loves them. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time we told anybody that Jesus loves them? When was the last time we sat down with somebody and said, you know, I got a story I want to tell you. I want to tell you how Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. You don't have to talk about being a sinner, because sinners know what sinners are. You need to tell them how God changed your life. Be a testimony. That's what I want to teach our young children today. You're a testimony for the greatest God-man who ever lived and the only one who ever lived. You're his witness and you bear his name. Don't underestimate what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in your life, because most of the time we do. And I say that because my Bible tells me that God is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be tomorrow. So if we feel the church has no power today, it isn't because of the Holy Spirit, it's because of the people. That's where it lies. Don't lay it at the foot of the cross. Pick it up and understand we need to repent of it and trust in the power of God through the Spirit that we all have as believers. Finally, the Holy Spirit is a practical help. I've heard some people say, yeah, I finally made a decision to believe in Jesus. I made that decision to do that. You didn't make that decision until the Holy Spirit led you to that decision. You see, the Holy Spirit is our practical help, and he guides us into the light of all God's truth. Not all at once. You and I couldn't handle it all at once. But how many times have you read a passage 100 times, and on the 101st time, bingo, off goes the lights and the bells start ringing? Yeah. That's because the Holy Spirit says, you're not ready this first 100 times to understand what I'm doing here. But if we persist and we pray and we proceed in our faith and in our walk and in our love for our God, he will open up doors you never thought possible. Amen. You see, he's led us to the truth of our salvation. And you know what the truth of my salvation is? I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. Because what I deserved was death and hell. But it is the love of God through his son Jesus Christ that gave me life. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not about becoming a Southern Baptist to be saved. It's about becoming a Christian in Christ that saves you. That's just a handle on a billboard out there. That's all that is. We are more than that. We are believers brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ, doing and performing a missions work. Amen. That's what we're about. Is that what we're about? Think about that question for a moment. Let me ask you something today. How many are thinking they're going to be able to ride into glory on somebody else's coattails? Yeah, you might be able to do that in politics, but you don't do that in heaven. You get in there by the merit in which you have a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. You know, I didn't know several generations back that I had a great-great-great-grandfather who was a preacher. Whoopee. I'm glad he was a preacher. But if I denied Jesus Christ, I would go to hell. I would. And preacher or not, would not get me into heaven. I can guarantee you he's not up there sitting on the right hand of the Father begging Jesus to forgive me so that I can get there, like so many religions like to do. We're going to just baptize you in the name of 1,000 people. That way they're all going to go to heaven. Yeah, right. My Bible doesn't say it works that way. My Bible says it's what you do in your heart with Jesus Christ. Do we all in here today know Jesus? The last thing I want from anybody, any churchgoer, is to play church. Playing church gets you a place and a seat. But what about the reality of tomorrow? My Bible tells me that life is like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Are we ready to stand and meet the Lord in our final moment? We're not if we don't know Jesus. I don't care how many churches you belong to. I remember when I was in Las Lunas and I went out to witness and to share the word of God with somebody. He says, oh, I know I'm going to heaven. I says, how do you know that? He says, I've been baptized in 30 different religions. Well, you've been wet 30 different times then, haven't you? Because that doesn't guarantee you a thing. Except I hope you had 30 towels. You understand what I'm saying this morning? It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to make it. You have to say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I have sinned against you. And yes, Lord, without your sacrifice on that cross and your blood over that cross for my sin, I would die and I would go to hell should I take my last breath right now. I say this because God, the Bible says that he doesn't want anybody to perish. Amen? Amen. I don't want anybody to perish. But my friend, it all lays down into your lap. Now, the truth of the matter is, some of you I may have condemned with this message this morning. Because if you reject the truth of God's word, and you can do that if that's your desire, that's your heart's desire. But when you stand before God, he's going to bring to your mind the moment that the Holy Spirit came knocking on your door. That this no-name pastor in this pulpit shared with you the truth of God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. No more needs to be said. I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me right now, if you would, please. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. And as we do, I pray that your heart and your mind is open to the Holy Spirit today. And understand, you'll make a lot of decisions in life, but the most important decision you will ever make will be your decision for Jesus. The most important. What will you do with him today? If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, no one looking around, if the Spirit is speaking to you today, in whatever way, I just want to pray for you. That's all that I'm asking, is to let me pray for you. And if you would like me to pray for you, I want to just ask you to slip your hand up, no one looking around. Is there anyone here today that say, pray for me? Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Are there any others this morning? I am struggling, someone may say. Are you ready to hand it over to he who can deliver you from these struggles and get you through them, trusting in him? Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Amen. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we stand here in your presence, Lord Jesus. Not on my account, not on the name of this church, but on your name, Holy God. Oh, Lord, I am sure that not everybody in this congregation is a born-again believer. And Lord God, my heart goes out to each and every one that may not be today, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit just speak to their heart, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, for brothers and sisters that have remained uncommitted to the act of really following you. Not about church names and denominations, but about mission and purpose. That to which you have given us, each and every one. Lord God, we just love you so much. And I just pray that today your name will be glorified in whatever decision might be made, Lord Jesus. It's in your holy name I pray these things. Amen.